G'day, this is Big Brady Marshall.
This is Brian Alvarez.
This is Dean Brady of the Millennials.
This is the Jurassic Punk Sid Parker.
How many of you guys have heard the term kayfabe?
Blue Doggers. This is Jay Hunter from OSW Review.
This is Matt Grim Basso.
This is the loosest kid in Australian wrestling, Adam Brooks.
This is Scrap Brand Adam Pearce, and you are locked in
to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Welcome, everyone, to the longest-running Australian wrestling podcast, Wrestle Radio Australia. I'm your host, Todd Eastman. I hope you all went out last weekend and enjoyed local pro wrestling. I had the weekend off, of course, and the moratorium of the wife saying you must take some time off and not get yourself so stressed out. So I had the weekend off, but what a week it has been so far in Australian wrestling. Robbie Eagles, of course, debuting last night as I'm recording this, in the Super Junior Tag League, and getting a tap-out victory over Jushin Thunder Liger, which is amazing. I mean, I'm a fairly old dude, so I remember, I think it was back in 1991, I saw Jushin Thunder Liger in Thebon Theatre in Adelaide. And to think that an Australian wrestler faced a legend like that in Japan and got the win on top of that, as a part of one of the biggest factions in Japanese wrestling, hell, in wrestling in particular, is absolutely amazing. So congratulations to Robbie Eagles. One Eye, even though I'm recording this right now, is actually on night two of the Super Juniors. Can't not watch it just in case I miss something cool. So if I trail off or something like that, that could be why. So just giving you the heads up.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening!
I am joined today by one of the most up-and-coming young wrestlers in the New South Wales scene, Matty Wahlberg. How are you tonight, mate?
Mate, I'm living the dream. It's the 21st century success story of the NBA natural-born athlete. You know, if you want to give me a proper intro next time, we can work on that.
Sorry, mate. I apologise completely.
That's okay. First time talking, so maybe next time.
That's right. I will have it written down. I'll have it ready to go. First thing
I
got to...
I appreciate that.
That's perfectly fine. What attracted you to pro wrestling to start with? Was it something as you grew up as a kid that you were watching, or was it just you found that you moved more into just wanting to perform in front of an audience?
Oh, I was like everyone else, you know. I've been watching wrestling since I was 5 years old, that kind of thing. But I found myself kind of getting away from it at some stage. You know, I used to just watch WWE and whatever it was, and then I got huge into the UFC through like guys like Ken Shamrock and dudes that I'd seen in the WWE originally.
Yep.
And then so I did MMA for a while, like that was my thing. I thought that's what I was going to do, but then turns out that wasn't for me. I wasn't passionate about it, so then I came back to the wrestling, which I know best.
Mm. When you did, because I noticed your style's not as like MMA-y, if that's a word to say. When you trained MMA, was it jiu-jitsu or was it just straight like mixed martial arts?
So I did pretty much everything. I mostly did I focused mostly on Muay Thai and that kind of thing. Like I do have a sweet ground game, but it's not as much fun. I like to be a little flashy. I actually used to train with Rob Whitaker, I assume you know.
Yep.
Former champ Whitaker.
Yep.
Well, current champ, sorry. And he was very much like that. Like he was very to the book, textbook kind of thing, and he used to beat the crap out of me, so I had to find something sneaky, so I'd try and be fancy, and that was my way around it. And it turned out I had more fun being fancy than I did being a textbook.
Yeah, and then you started to move into pro wrestling. So where did you actually start training? Was it at PWA?
Yeah, pretty much PWA. I found when they first opened their new school in Liverpool, I found myself down there and met Robbie and talked to him, and then I haven't looked back since.
Awesome. So, how often? Because I'd like to give it a sort of a snapshot for people at home. How often do you guys actually train?
It depends on the person. Really, it depends how committed you are. But a lot of us, you know, we want to be the best, so we're in there 3-4 times a week, depending on the week. And then if we've got shows on the weekend and that kind of thing, you know, it ends up being all up like maybe 5 days of wrestling a week. Plus, you got to go to the gym, then you got to eat well. So it's full time. Basically, so if you want to be the best, it's full time. Some people might go once a week or never at all, but you know, that's their decision.
Yeah, and that's something I really like to sort of hammer home to people that you guys aren't just doing the local footy. I train twice a week and then I go out there and have a game sort of thing. You guys are 24/7, like diet, weights, training in ring. And I think that is so important. It's not just about looking good. You actually have to know what you're doing inside that ring.
Exactly. And the way we train at PWA is insane. Like, there's people who from, you know, wrestlers that come in and have, you know, been wrestlers for years, come into our training sessions and they last one, two sessions and we don't see them again because we don't mess around. Like, we're here to be the best. So our training sessions are up there with not just like any wrestling training there is, but pretty much any sport training you can do.
Yeah, well, you've got to be when you're getting trained by like Robbie Eagles, Madison, you got Mick Moretti in there all the time. I mean, what is it like learning from those guys?
Mick Moretti is a demon, man. Like, that guy is absolutely insane when it comes to fitness and cardio. Like, he destroys people. He destroys himself with some of his exercises. It's ridiculous.
And it's, well, you have a look at the guy and it's definitely paying off, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. He doesn't give us anything that he can't do himself, which if I'm a coach sometimes, you know, they'll have these ridiculous fitness regimes that people have to do and they just kind of sit back and watch. But Mick's in there with us every time. He's a monster.
Yeah, and I find that is the key to a, especially in wrestling anyway, a good trainer. I know when I was training down in RCW, it was always Maddie or Cree or Marvel or Bulldog. They did the training session with you. They just weren't standing there. Because then you know you can't bitch out because they're not bitching out. They're going to be with you every step of the way, pushing you.
Exactly, that's key. When you see your coach doing it, and they're working their ass off, you want to do the same. Mm. I think if they were just watching us and not paying attention, that does happen sometimes. Maybe we wouldn't have the motivation. But we see what they do, and we see where look where Mick and Robbie and Madison are now. Like, they're killing the game. So that's where we want to be. So we got to work as hard as they do.
Yeah, well, it's definitely paying off for you because you are currently the Nui Pro middleweight champion, is it?
Correct. I am the reigning defending Nui Pro middleweight champion.
Yeah, and they don't just give those shots and those positions to any guy that rocks up in the gym. That means that you have actually worked hard and you are proven in the ring. So congratulations on that one. Tell me about how you developed the Matty Wahlberg, like, persona.
See, a lot of people ask me a question, and I'll be honest with you, if the word persona, character, all these things people give me, like, that's not what it is at all. Like, that who you see in the ring, that is the real me. Unfortunately, because of society, you can't be that person all the time. You know, people would judge me for being a complete douchebag. But yep. When I'm in the ring, that is the real me.
Beautiful. And the whole, see, this is something that you and I do have in common. I am a Jersey addict myself. Did it take anything to convince the promoters and the bookers to let you come out just wearing? Because I know that a lot of times a promoter or a booker will be like, oh, you need to have proper ring gear. You need, not that you don't have like proper, you have proper tights and stuff like that. But I'm talking like wearing the trademarked stuff, like the NBA jerseys and the that stuff. Did you ever get any pushback from promoters about that?
Never at all. I'm always under the assumption that it's better to ask for forgiveness than it is permission.
Yeah.
And I had full confidence. Like, you know, you want to go out there, you want to be you. Anytime you see me, I'm wearing a fresh jersey. So I thought, why not wear one every time? And I think there is no one else. You know, some guy might have a sweet ring jacket, and every time you see him wrestle, he's got the same sweet ring jacket. But every time you see me, I've got something different on. There's very few times you see me wearing the same one, my collection. And every time I come out to a new show, if I have a big show coming up, I buy a new one, I get something fresh, I do some type of, you know, character stuff with it. So I'm always keeping people on their toes and giving them something new. So I think it's actually better than just having, you know, a go-to ring jacket. It's more exciting.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And, like I said, I'm an absolute jersey fiend myself, and my wife hates the amount of money I spend on them. She goes, you only just wear them, like, somewhere, then you get change to do it. I think, yeah, but you don't understand, I have it now. And if I want to go out and wear this, I have it.
Chinese websites,
yep,
are the dream.
Yep,
Chinese websites, if you can find the right ones, you know.
I've got
$120 for a jersey is insane.
Yes,
brother. That's I'm not about that life. So, no. You know, if I can find one little tricky one online, I'm not going to lie, I do that.
I found a Facebook marketplace guy who sorts me out. Very nice.
Yeah, I bet you're a good dude, and all of them look good too.
Yes, they do. They do. You could not tell. Unless you went up and actually, you know how the Nike ones have the chip or whatever inside?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But no one can see a chip.
No one can see that. Exactly. Thank you. That's what I said. I like had the LeBron jersey like 2 days after he signed.
Oh, bro. I'm out. I'm out on you now, man. I can't get on that bandwagon.
Can I? Oh, I had to. See, I'm a Laker boy, so I had to embrace. I hated. The funniest thing is I hated LeBron with a passion for the longest
time. Until he's on your team.
And now he's on my team, so I've got to back the guy.
Okay. I'll let it pass this time. If you were just like the bandwagon fans who jump on it, then I would judge you, but I'm going to let it happen today.
No, I was to the point where back in the day, I was like, the only Cavs jersey I could own is Dele's because he's an Aussie. Aside from that, I hate the Cavs.
Yeah.
That's like I hate James Harden.
Yeah, but that...
So the only jersey I can wear from the Houston Rockets is Tracy McGrady's throwback.
Ooh, yeah, okay. See, now I know you're a true jersey guy because that's a fresh jersey, Tracy McGrady.
Yes, and it's not even the you know how the new style, the sort of the smaller writing, Houston?
Yes.
I've got the old school Rockets, like Elijah one with McGrady.
That's the proper throwback. That's yeah. What I like. I like proper throwbacks.
That's what you got to have, man. Anyway, we'll nobody who is a wrestling fan is probably enjoying this chat. So we'll move on. You've only just started really spreading your wings interstate. How have you enjoyed that process of, because you've had what, a year in front of New South Wales based fans to get your I don't want to say gimmick because you said it's not really a gimmick, to get your act across, to get who you are across. How exciting is it for you now in your young career moving to these other states and seeing how that exact sort of thing works in front of all these different crowds? Because they are. A New South Wales crowd is different to a Melbourne crowd, is different to an Adelaide crowd.
Yeah, very much. And I was in Adelaide last weekend for Rye City Wrestling, which I was super excited for. Because we have social media now, so we have the opportunity to keep track of all these other companies. And I just really want to wrestle everywhere. And I've got a good relationship with RCW there, and so getting to go there was awesome, and they've got just like a different crowd and they've never seen me before, so they were all super excited and reacted to my stuff, which was awesome. And yeah, I really just want to wrestle everywhere in Australia. Adelaide was the first stop, so I'm hoping there's some other stuff coming up in the future, something I can't talk about yet, but it's really, really cool. And just like as a wrestler, like being brought in the state kind of puts you at a certain level as well. I know people look at those who get brought in the state as, you know, being good. So I wanted to be associated with that. So I'm glad that's finally happening.
Yeah, exactly. That means you've taken that next step, if you will, in your career. When people from outside of the state will say, we want you to come in and do what you do in front of our crowd. So that is a natural progression in a career.
Yeah, it's kind of strange as well. Like the first time when someone's bringing you in, it's very exciting. It's a strange feeling that, you know, someone's organising for you to jump on a plane and come and wrestle in front of their crowd. So I very much appreciate any of the opportunities I get.
Yeah, well, you've already had a massive, massive year this year, especially in New South Wales with PWA, now operating out of Max Watts. What is that like going out in front of that crowd?
That venue is fresh. Like I've been to concerts there like my whole life. And if you've ever been there, for anyone who's been there, the acoustics there are insane. It's a music venue. It's a band venue. So the actual speaks and stuff go crazy. When Jonah Rock came out the last show against UGG,
mm-hmm.
there was three or four of us who made sure we're in the crowd because that his theme song is banging.
Yeah.
On those acoustics, people were saying backstage like water bottles were falling over and stuff like that. And it's just got that really cool
bass,
like intimate vibe because we've just got everyone kind of surrounding the ring and the people are up in the rafters. Like it's a super cool venue.
Mm, yeah. And you're are you on the Coliseum show coming up this weekend? Because I haven't actually seen you advertised in a match, but yeah.
No. I'm hoping to be. Unfortunately, for some reason, PWA recently, you know, certain videos that I released saying things that they didn't really want me to release came out. So I guess they're doing their best to announce what I'm doing late. I'm hoping that doesn't fall through. But you know, that's what PWA have been doing with me recently. I don't know what their problem is with me. It's because I kind of say what I think instead of being the company guy that everyone else is. I guess it's a form of punishment, but regardless, the beer pong challenge is on at intermission, and I will make sure people know I'm there.
Explain exactly what happened at the last PWA show.
Well, basically, you know, I wasn't booked on the show. Simple as that. Certain people were talking about it as well. If anyone's seen Rose from Triple M, who is one of our commentators now, you know, he was saying certain things. And I know people don't pay attention to the beer pong and, like, certain people in the back, you know, that's halftime entertainment. And I don't consider myself halftime entertainment. I don't consider myself a mascot. So basically, anytime I get that mic, I'm going to be honest with people. And I told everyone what I thought. I thought it was bullshit I was on the show. And I thought that Rose was a piece of shit and I needed to tell him that. So I got it all off my chest. And then when the footage came out of the show, that conveniently wasn't on there. So I had to work some magic with certain people to get that footage available to put it online.
I actually used the promo on the last episode of WRA. I started a new segment at the end of the show called Promo Land. And if I see a good promo that I've enjoyed during that week, I'll throw it on at the end of the show. So yeah, it was one of my...
Oh, really? Well, I very much appreciate it, man.
No, it was one of my very...
That's just me being honest. Like,
yeah.
If I have something to say, I'm going to say it, and I'm not going to pussyfoot around it and kind of, you know, find a nice way to say it. I'm going to say exactly how I feel, and I guess people kind of responded to it.
Yeah. See, as a manager, as I am when I perform in front of the crowd, I enjoy a promo that actually has some emotion behind it. Actually, you can feel it's not a guy just going out and saying words. It's an actual... You've actually thought about it. You've actually had a thought process and you're actually doing something. And that stuff for me is just, you know what I mean? it's the sauce that makes the pizza, if you know what I mean.
Very much so. And I hate when people get on the mic at wrestling and just say that classic wrestling cliche sentences. And it's just, I turn off. I couldn't care less unless you're telling me something from the heart. Like, I don't know why you're saying it. And that's why every time I get the microphone, I'm telling people exactly what I'm thinking. And unfortunately, sometimes that gets me a little bit of trouble, but I have no regrets about that.
Yeah, I had a guy ask me during, was it last show or the show before I was at, I can't remember rightly. And he was having real trouble with the crowd doing the what chant and all that, you know, that sort of that crap. And he was like, why don't they ever do it with you? I said, because when I take the mic, I'm in control. And they know just by the way I talk and the way I express myself that I'm in control. And so they don't talk back until I'm done talking. And that's what I think a lot of people don't do in promos. They just have their lines and they will that they've been thinking about all week and this is what I'm going to say. And they will plow through it no matter what the crowd does.
Yeah, and the crowds that I've been in front of too, they're smart. They know that if they're out of line, I'm going to call them out. And I have a much sharper tongue and a quicker wit than anybody in that crowd. So they realize very quickly that if they're going to say something, they're going to be sitting down embarrassed very, very quickly.
Nui Pro, you're the middleweight champion. Just coming off, you've just come off a sort of a program with Unsocial Jordan. What is next for the middleweight championship?
Realistically, I'm just open to challenges. I think Nui has a crazy middleweight division. You know, Robbie Eagles is in the middleweight division. You've got Matt Diamond. The Velocity is Jude London and Paris De Silva. Adam Hoffman, Concrete Davidson. And there's a lot of these guys I haven't wrestled one-on-one, especially not at Nui. So I just want to wrestle everyone. I want to put my belt on the line against everyone because I think I'm better than them. Because middleweight, people forget that the middleweight title actually is a weight limit. It's 90 kilos. And all those dudes are so small. I cut down to 90 kilos for these matches. So I just want to be the best new middleweight champion that's ever existed. And that's what's going to happen. I just want these guys to step up and actually try and face me first, though.
Beautiful, beautiful. And what is the plan overall for Matty Wahlberg? Have you decided that... have you given yourself like a time frame of where you want to be in X amount of years? Or are you sort of just... waiting to see what unfolds with the way wrestling is nowadays? You don't know in 3 to 4 years there could be an NXT sort of division in Australia the way it is now in the UK. Is that something that you would aim for, like an NXT, or are you more moving towards the Japan or the English version is what seems to be really popular now, is for guys to head over to England?
Yeah, I think for some reason at the moment everyone wants to go overseas. Like, all the guys I meet at training, like, I want to go to Japan, I want to go to England. And like the US would be the place I would love to go. There's certain places I would love to work there, but the way the Australian wrestling scene is at the moment, like, I don't want to go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be at the forefront of this. I want to be pushing it, and I want to be the guy that makes it, you know, what it is. So if there's opportunities to go overseas, of course I'm going to take them, but my real goal is to be the best guy in Australia. That is my ultimate goal. Starts off with New South Wales, and then realistically it means going into state and all those type of things. Like, I want to run the country.
Mm.
And then if people from overseas see that and they want a piece of me, then I'm happy to do that. But right now I think all attention should be put on our scene, because if you watch our shows and you watch overseas shows that everyone talks about, like, no one can touch the Australian scene. We're just as good or better than anyone else. And it's just, we're waiting for people to realise it, and they slowly are.
Yeah, I think that's a massive misnomer that people around the country think that the American indies are somewhat better than what the Australian... Like, there is... I've watched a ton of American indies, and the Nui Pros, your PWAs, your MCWs, your RCWs, your EPWs, they all easily hold up to any of those promotions, and in a lot of cases surpass them.
Easily. And you think, when you think of American indies, let's say there's maybe, really, so there's 7 or 8 good ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got like Ring of Honor, Chikara, Beyond, like all the Bar Wrestling, PWG, like, everyone knows these, but that country's huge. There's so many promotions in America that aren't good.
Yep.
That for some reason we think they're all incredible just because of the really good ones. So, and when we have our Aussie guys go over, they're the best thing on the show. The nation's nearly just one King of Trios. We've got, you know, Shaz and Indy Hartwell and Jessica Troy and Madison Eagles going over, and they're the best things. I saw the Fit Brothers are going to be in the States soon. Like, every time the Aussies go over, everyone's like, wow, how good are these guys? And that's on their big shows. So in some ways, I think America's overrated in some ways. Like, their good companies are good, but they also have some bad companies there as well that people don't pay attention to.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And if you were, because I know you were, if you're in that crowd, not last weekend, but the weekend before for MCW New Horizons.
I was there.
Yeah, you don't want to be, that's somewhere that you want to work. If you're not, if you're an Australian wrestler that was at that show and not on that card, and you don't care if you're on that card or not, then there's something wrong with you, because that is somewhere, well, that is something that you need to work towards. The way that crowd was and the atmosphere in that building is something that you need to work towards.
100%. And I haven't said it. If you were an Australian wrestler and you didn't go to that show at all and you just went down there for the Fed, you have no idea what you're doing. That is my honest thoughts. You have no idea what you're doing, and you're basically just a WWE guy and you're a hobby wrestler. That MCW show was sick. There was the whole card was good. Robbie and Juicy, which I knew was going to be good, was incredible. I never thought that was going to be the kind of match I saw out of them. And that vibe you got there, it was just the whole time I was sitting next to Ricky South, and we both looked at each other and we're like, this is where we want to be. Like, we want to be on these shows where we love watching them, but we'd love being on them more. So if you don't want to be at that arena, I don't know what's going on with you.
It's exactly right. Matty, it's been great to talk to you, mate. Can you just let people know your socials so they can catch up and where they can catch you in the next couple of weeks, sort of thing, just so they can follow... wrestler who, in my opinion, in the next couple of years is going to be someone that everyone in the country is going to be talking about.
Yeah, for sure. I'm pretty much Matty Warburg 21, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all those things. This Saturday, PWA Coliseum at Max Watts. If you haven't been to a Coliseum, like a PWA show at Max Watts, you need to get down there. That venue is sick. And then next week is the anniversary for Nui Pro, the Halloween party. And I'm going to be honest, I have the freshest Halloween outfit for next Saturday. It is so good. I'm going to give no spoilers at all, but when people see what it is, it'll make complete sense. I cannot wait for it.
Right. I know something that I would love for you to do, but you probably won't. So you probably have better ideas than me. So
okay. After this, you message me and I'll give you the little spoiler alert if it stays here between us.
Definitely, mate. Definitely. Matty Wahlberg.
Okay, I'll trust you.
Thanks, mate. Matty Wahlberg, thank you very much for joining me, mate.
Not a problem. Thank you very much for having me, brother.
All right, now on this episode of Views from the East, I don't call it a segment of Views from the East, we're going to talk about what makes your promotion stand out. Now, I ask that because anyone can get a ring, hire a hall, get some chairs, and they think they have a promotion. But you need an identity, production qualities, and something to make you different, especially nowadays when people can sit at home and have entertainment delivered to them. You really need to give them a reason to come out and part with their money. Now, the workers on your shows should look like athletes, dress like professionals, and work like them as well. Now, this is not only on them, this is also on you as a promoter, or on anyone as a promoter. To not just book any guy with a wrist lock because he's your mate, or look, he's a nice guy. Book people who will actually put on a great show. It's hard enough getting people to your show the first time. Your product is what determines whether they come back again. Also, make sure you budget for your show. I mean, have the money. Just be ready to not succeed. Let's just put it that way. Let's not say that you're going to fail, but let's just have, make sure you have enough money up front that if you don't make your money back, you're fine with it. Because there's one thing I hate, and it's these, you hear stories about people that put on shows and then they don't draw a they don't draw a house, and they have to go to the guys and say, oh look, we didn't draw a house, so I can't really give you. That should never be. If you went and worked a normal job, a normal 9-to-5 job, and at the end of your 40 hours your boss came up to you and said, oh look, we didn't really sell that much this week, so I can't pay you, what would you think? You would not be happy and you wouldn't want to work there anymore. And that's exactly what guys should be like in the industry. Anyway, that's it for this Views from the East. I'm Todd Eastman. That's my opinion, and you're all entitled to it. It's now time to find out where the action is this weekend. In Victoria, PCW Ignition, Saturday the 20th of October at the Southeastern Entertainment Centre. That's in Ferntree Gully Road, Ferntree Gully. Hit their Facebook page up for ticket details on that one. In New South Wales, of course, our guest this week, Matty Wahlberg, will be on this show, the PWA Black Label 18 Plus Presents Coliseum, Saturday 20th of October, opening at 7:30 p.m. at Max Watts in Sydney. That's in the Entertainment Quarter at Errol Flynn Boulevard, Moore Park. For tickets, go to maxwatts.com.au for that one. Look, people that are on this card, mate, you've got the Rapscallion, Mick Moretti, Damian Slater, AJ Istria, Paris De Silva, Unsocial Jordan, the Aussie Arrow Kyle Fletcher, who is actually one half of the Progress Tag Team Champions at the moment, Kellyanne, and of course, Jack J. Bonza on the card. Get out and see this one. If I could see any card this weekend around the country, this would be the show I would be going to. That is at PWA this weekend at Max Watts. Also on Saturday in New South Wales, Wrestling Go have their Halloween episode at the Marion Community Centre. That's all ages events, I get it to that one. Featuring former WWE superstar Melina. Hit up their Facebook page for details on that one, because tickets are selling fast and apparently there is only standing room only left. So really get in there and get your tickets for that one. In WA, NHPW Slaughterhouse 30 at the Slaughterhouse Pro Wrestling Academy in Perth. That's at Keats Road, Armidale. Show starts at 3 p.m, so be aware of that one. It is an earlier start time for your normal shows. Tickets are available for that one at the door. Again, that is at Keats Road, Armidale in WA for NHPW Slaughterhouse 30. In Adelaide, PWSA War Games at the PWSA Arena, Paraka. In the main event, the PWSA Championship is on the line. Matt Hayter against New South Wales Richie Taylor. Check their Facebook page for details, but tickets are only available at the door for that one. And also in Adelaide, ACW Australian Championship Wrestling presents Eminence this Saturday at the Estonian Hall. The main event for that one, Adam Brooks is challenging former WWE superstar Orlando Jordan for the ACW title. And also Riley is defending her Evolve title against Sid Parker. For tickets for that one, it is at, now go with me on this one, trybooking.com/XUJA, or hit their Facebook page up. There will be details and links to buy tickets for that one. But get out there and support Australian Wrestling in Adelaide. And finishing up in Queensland this weekend, I will be at United Pro Wrestling Halloween Bash at the Maroochydore Clippers Basketball Association Stadium, where my boy Jake Nova takes on Luxford to hopefully join 13 Jesse Love Malibu and two other competitors in the $1,000 six-man trick-or-treat ladder match main event. For that one, tickets are... We'll hit their Facebook page up, or the tickets are at tix.yt/UPW Halloween Bash. Pretty much should be easier for you to hit up their Facebook page, find the links and buy tickets for that one. We'll see you out there. I will definitely be cheering my, not in any way interfering, because that's not my deal. I'm all about being fair and honest in professional wrestling. And that is it for where the action is this weekend around the country. Get out and support your local pro wrestling. All right, that does it for this episode of Wrestle Radio Australia. Once again, big thanks to my guest, Matty Wahlberg. Go out and catch him if you can. If you see he's on a show in your area, go out and support him. Up-and-coming young wrestler. And like I said, I think in the near future, he will be on the lips of every hardcore wrestling fan in this country. And he should be. He's a great talent with a lot of potential. If you haven't already, though, guys, make sure you subscribe to WRA. It's free and you can do it on iTunes, Stitcher, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. If you do stop by iTunes, give us a rating and review while you're there. Give us a 5-star. It helps us get inside more ears. Share the show and spread the word. Also, make sure you like us on Facebook. Just search out Wrestle Radio Australia, and on Twitter at Wrestle Radio AU, or me personally at Beast Eastman. Remember also, we have our WRA shirts on Redbubble. Just search up Wrestle Radio Australia on redbubble.com. Any sale of the Wrestle Radio Australia t-shirts, the profits for that until the end of November are going to Beyond Blue and Gotcha for Life. They are two charities that really do work to help men's health and preventing senseless losses of young men in this country. I say it every episode and I'll keep saying it. We lose 6.4 men a day in this country to suicide, and that's something that's got to change, and Beyond Blue and Gotcha for Life are doing a lot to try and help that from not happening. And as a small part, I would like to try and help have us help them help everyone else. And to send us home, it is the second episode of Promo Land, and this one is something because we have an Aussie that is just debuted in New Japan. It will be second match probably happening as I speak to you right now. Robbie Eagles. So what I've got is a quick promo he shot at the end of his first match. And that'll do it for this episode of Wrestle Radio Australia. My name's Todd Eastman, and we'll see you next week.
All the Bullet Club was missing was a tactician. And that's what I bring to the game. That's what I bring to the ring. And it doesn't matter that I came all the way from Australia, I was handpicked by Taiji Ishimori and the rest of the BCOGs, and I'm gonna prove my value, and the way I'm gonna do that is by the Bone Soldier and the Sniper of the Skies winning the entire Super Junior Tag League.